Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
LandryFootball.com and his new Twitch TV channel joins us every Thursday. Chris, good morning to you, sir. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Here's a question right out of the chute from America 1970 down in Georgia. Ask Chris his thoughts on Coach Collins at Georgia Tech. Can he make this place a consistent winner?
Well, again, I always say that you got to define consistent winner. Can he get them to where they're going to bowl games regularly? Yes, I think he will absolutely do that. I think he is taking a different approach and capitalizing on the great state of Georgia in recruiting and their ability to get some of those players that some of which are not going to be recruited by maybe the top-tier SEC schools. To get them to come to Georgia Tech. I think he's going to do a really good job. Like the Georgia Tech folks, have a good relationship with him. I recommend it, Jeff, highly. I think he's really good. I think we saw last week just the building of the culture change of how they're doing things. Last year they took all those guys that were recruited for the option and planned those guys on defense. But, you know, if you're thinking, boy, they're going to go and do what they did under Bobby Ross and win a national title, that's not realistic. Can you be competitive, in the league? Yes, to a point, and go to bowl games. So, yeah, I think he'll do a good job. I think he'll do a more consistent job than Paul will, because I think he's got a style that's going to lend a more of recruiting a better athlete that will allow him to be, you know, not so up and down.
Chris and I can take you back. It only feels like yesterday, too. Bobby Ross, 1990, Georgia Tech won a national championship. Split it that year with Colorado, but
correct.
That seems, I know it's 30 years. It seems like yesterday, and it seems like 30 years ago at the same time. But, boy, people, look, Georgia Tech, geographically speaking, Chris, I mean, you couldn't be better located for players. Now, again, you're not necessarily known as a football factory, but that you can win some at Tech if you're properly led. I guess that's the
correct. And so if you're, you know, and listen, I love Paul, and you know, Paul kind of rankles when I say this, but you know, a lot of those players were eliminated in the recruiting process because of the style that they were running, and it wasn't modern enough to attract guys. And oh, they got some good defensive guys, but you know, it's not as good of a fit. You know, for the younger audience, people don't realize, you just mentioned an underrated football coach. Bobby Ross won an ACC title at Maryland and at Georgia Tech and went to a Super Bowl as a head coach.
It's incredible.
really, really good coach. Now, you know, and we're not talking, you know, Super Bowl, but, you know, Georgia Tech and, again, Maryland – and look, this is Maryland when, you know, not Florida State was in it and all that, but you know, Clemson was, and it was the old ACC when it was ACC in 18 before the expansions and the other expansion. So it's a difference, you know. You know, Duke did it with Steve as well, but, you know, it's amazing. You can look at Steve Spurrier and say, boy, what a great pedigree, and understandably so. But I always like to defend guys that do a really good job, but maybe are not as popular. Bobby Ross was just an outstanding, outstanding coach.
Jumping around just a little bit with Chris, something we talked about earlier in the week. I in particular, wanted to see New England play because of Cam Newton and, you know, Brady's not there and all the storylines. Can they maintain that style of offense through this season? I know Belichick's a brilliant coach, but can they run him and have the same pattern game after game and get where they want?
No, they're not going to run him as much. But what I think they're doing in the plan with this offense is you've got to run a lot of zone read stuff, and you've got to use his mobility. Now, yeah. A lot of those runs were improvisational runs. So it wasn't – some of them were designed, some of them were not. Some of them were in the zone read situation. What I think you're going to see is they're setting up for what's going to be a lot of built-in bubble screens and a lot of built-in pass options deeper downfield in the second, third level off of that. So what I think they're doing, we'll see over time, is in order to make you respect the run, you're going to have to run it some. So I think the plan is to run it, show it, make you defend it, and then I think in time they're going to take chances. But, you know, a lot of it is, you know, goal line, he makes a read, you got a bubble over the between the tackle and the guard, you're going to sneak it in or in the short yardage. So I think you're going to always see that. Look, Bill, Cam Newton's not going to be there long term. So they're going to want to win. If they need to run him 10 times a game, 15 times a game, they will. I think, to your point, they're going to be judicious about doing it. Once they get playoff time, you bet. You have to have the run game threat, and you have the run game reality of Cam Newton, or else he's not nearly the quarterback, because that's what creates the spacing and coverage, which allows him to be a lethal passer, because he's not a dropback guy. He's not going to be a midline dropback guy. So I think you got to do all those things. And it's not like they're signing him for, oh, well, they're going to run his future. They don't have any future with Cam Newton. They're going to run him and run that baby into the ground and trade it in at the end of the year if it's worn out, if you know what I mean. They're going for it with a great defense.
Chris, Wyatt Davis and Sean Wade opted out, and now they want back, and I guess that's going to be accommodated. I haven't really looked into it too deep this morning. Give everybody the cliff notes of their draft grade, at least to date, and then what you're perhaps hearing about their return.
Great cover guy that can flip his hip, mirror receivers, does a good job staying on top of routes. I think he feels very well, does a pretty good job reaction in zone when they play him that way. Wyatt is as good a run blocking guard as there is in this draft. He's got good footwork and can, with improved hand placement, become a more proficient pass protector. He's solid there, not great. He's really, really good as a run blocker. I mean, he's very, very advanced. He plays with heavy hands, comes off with a flat back, and rolls his hips. I'm not surprised by that, because, you know, they know they've got a special season ahead, and I think those guys feel like, look, you know, got good futures, but, you know, we'd like to try to win a title. I mean, they know what they've got going, and so the right chance to be able to be in a position. I thought it was interesting, too. I don't know if you saw, and he said he never just was thinking about leaving, but Pat Freiermuth yesterday I wasn't leaving, man. I don't know where that's going. And I don't know, none of the coaches ever told me he was leaving or not leaving. It was some question, but I thought it was cute, because it made me think of, and this was before, obviously, Wyatt and Sean decided that we'll have a few of those guys that will say, you know what, yeah, I want to play, and let's go get it. But some of them, I don't think it's going to affect. I'd be surprised if it would affect a guy like a Rashad Bateman that, you know, says, he's already into his NFL preparation. In fact, he may have already signed with an agent, as far as I know.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com with us. And Will, in Arkansas, ask Chris his thoughts on OU's quarterbacks and their offense. Of course, they just played Missouri State, but your takeaway.
Well, listen, it wasn't a surprise, because I certainly studied a lot of tape on him in high school. But it is a difference, and you look at little practice clips and things, and, you know, you just you just want to see him in games, and it was against Missouri State. That doesn't affect this guy's ability to flip the ball. He's got a bazooka of an arm. I mean, he can flip it and, quite frankly, do things. Be careful, folks, with this comparison. Not saying this is going to be the same thing. He can do things that are Patrick Mahomes-esque in terms of throwing off of different platforms. He is more physically gifted than any of the quarterbacks they've had at Oklahoma that have gone through and won Heisman trophies. Not more athletically gifted than Kyler Murray. But from an arm talent and a pass skill standpoint, is better and will be in that system longer. And it is a system that does a great job of creating matchups and spacing and coverage. He's going to be outstanding, and I'm excited to see what he can do the rest of the year and what they can do throughout the Big 12. They look good, as I would expect they would, against Bobby Petrino's Missouri State team last week.
Here's a question. You brought it up earlier, and it ignited the synapses here. Tight end Pat Freiermuth, Penn State, or Florida's Kyle Pitts? I know both are outstanding, but who's better?
A little bit of an edge for Kyle at this point, although I love them both. I think Pat's a little bit more proficient right now, but the Gators is loaded with – they got even more natural ability. So
right.
It's Mr. Pitts. But they're both in the same grade plateau for me right now, and I'm just, you know, tickled as punch that, you know, Pat's going to be able to play and she'll put on more film. That's one of the many things I'm just excited about, and what does it mean for the playoffs and all that's one thing, but these guys' ability to play and the coaches be able to coach them, I'm excited. You know, I wish it was more than 8 games, and I wish they had done it differently, but we're moving forward. I'm excited for guys like that to be able to, you know, put more on their resume.
Watching Notre Dame and Michael Mayer out of Kentucky, fantastic prospect. One game in college. I'm not trying to get him into Canton today on the show, but Chris, at some point, are we going to stop with the baby Gronk? Is there a tight end that's not baby Gronk right now on any team?
Well, no, it's one of those things. We're going to sit there and everybody's going to kind of the big guy that is built almost like a small tackle that is really athletic. You know, we're going to see those, you know, those guys are rare.
Yeah.
Michael's really, really a good talent. And I think, you know, they've done a really good job with tight ends and working. Historically, Notre Dame's done great with tight ends. I mean, you can go back on and on and on back in the days in the 60s and the 70s. But in the modern day with Brian does a good job of working those guys in. And those guys are big weapons in today's game because they're the toughest mismatch. Once we went into a lot of, you know, 11 personnel and you always have a tight end flex or a big slot, and, you know, you've got a – those guys are very freakish athletes where in the past they all would went to be pass rushers. Some of them say, hey, I'd like to, you know, be really – a factor offensively, and you can be. You can be 255, 260, 265, and can run. Trying to guard you is a challenge. So this kid's really good. He's one of many good tight ends in the country.
Chris, you got a few minutes here, other side?
Absolutely.
Okay. More Chris Landry as we continue. We'll let you know how you can get all of his information. We're presented on this Thursday by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's really busy out here as expected this time of the morning, coming down 65 through Madison. Still on the scene of an accident over there in the 1300 block of Antioch Pine. Traffic's really starting to build down Ellington Parkway and also on I-40 coming through Mount Julia right now with all that traffic out of Wilson County. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest, September 25th through November 1st. Check out the details at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free.
Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the space repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com, babbel.com.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com. Nashville's premier steakhouse is Bob's Steak and Chop House in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bob's Steak and Chop House was the first to bring A5 Wagyu beef to Music City. With a wine list to complement any meal, Bob's Steak and Chop House now has limited summer hours and seating. With the backdrop of Music City, call ahead and reserve your spot on the patio. Bob's Steak and Chop House, now with new limited summer hours and seating. Nashville's premier steakhouse, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown Music City.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Former Titans coach Jeff Fisher.
Who's grumpy this morning?
Coach, I'm not grumpy.
John, I mean, hey, John.
Yeah.
Pull your head out of your butt. Get yourself in a better mood.
I'll do my best, coach. Thanks for the pep talk.
Okay.
You just made a promo for him.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
We've got Chris Landry here, LandryFootball.com. We'll get all of his information to you before we finish this up. Chris, your thoughts on the rapidly getting back to the field Big Ten and apparently their little brother, the Pac-12, doing the same thing?
Well, I mean, I think we've kind of known, or at least I felt like all along, that this is something that they were brought to kicking and screaming. I think they've got egg on their face on how they handle this administratively from a lot of different areas, and I don't want to bore the audience again with a diatribe of, you know, kind of what, how this has played out, but I think this was looked at wrong. And listen, I think we'd all be naive. It's somewhere on the list. The concern of the medical part is really there. I mean, it is. I mean, who's not concerned medically about, you know, the players? But that is not the driving force on this. I thought it was very disingenuous on, you know, they're trying to do the CYA thing. But the reality is they kind of got embarrassed and they got egg on their face. And, you know what changed? You know, oh, boy, things you think this medical information. I said I wasn't going to go on a diatribe. Gosh darn it, I am. They said, you think all this medical stuff came to them in the last two or three days? You know what changed? I tell you what changed. Oh, wow, Clemson, Wake Forest is playing. Wow, did you see? There was a whole bunch of NFL games on this week. Oh, wow, did you see? You know, college, high school football. That's what changed. The reality is, they're left there on the outside looking in, and they look like buffoons, and we got to do something about it. And that's what happened, and that's what happened with the timing. I will say this. It's not as easy as people think to get ready for that season. They're going to all have to do it as best as they can. And when you look at the restrictions that they put on it, you know, we talk about eight games. I'm kind of wondering if anybody in the Big Ten is going to get through all their eight games. And we can say that for everybody, but they got no margin for error there.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. With us, can you get football ready in the Big Ten by October 23rd, 24th?
No, you're going to have to do it gradually, and you're going to have to do the best you can, as I said, in the early part of the season. So people say, oh, they've been practicing. No, not everybody's been practicing. Wisconsin's been off 2 weeks because of some positive tests. The others have been doing more spring football-type practicing. So that's something. It's better than nothing, but you're going to have to do it as best as you can. And I mean, there's nothing about this season as normal. There's nothing about the let's just accept the fact, I think everybody is, they're gonna play, they're excited, and let's just figure it out as we go. The one conference that's had plenty of time to figure this out from a practice standpoint is the SEC. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know hindsight's 20/20, but I bet if they could do it over now with the benefit of hindsight, they'd probably be starting this week, because now you're thinking about let's start to get them in, because we don't know what the future holds. But the SEC is in better position to have enough practice time to get ready. But the Big Ten and the Pac-12, if they go forward and do it, they're behind the eight ball. There's no question. They put them, you know, it's their own administrator's fault, or let's call it the own fault of the administrators in their government in their states.
Chris, the NCAA since April has been extending out the shutdown of the dead period, or extending the dead period, I guess I should word it that way. And they've been doing it month by month, or 2 months at a time, 3 months at a time. Now they've said we've extended it through January 1. So we know for sure we're going to have a signing period. We're 70-75% at least last few years, maybe more, 80% are signing rather than in February. We're going to have players signing who have never officially visited schools or unofficially visited schools in some cases. Is that okay? Will that lead to a lot of disharmony, or will everything go smoothly otherwise?
Well, and I'm assuming that what you said is that is correct, in that they're not going to move signing day back for this year.
Haven't heard anything.
Which I haven't either. I've said that makes, you know, to me, perfect sense and common sense, which is obviously why they're not going to do it. It is going to be something that, look, I mean, if they don't move it back, you just laid it out. I mean, now you're dealing with making decisions both ways, on a player and a kid on a school, on sight unseen, which is not ideal. I think it leads to maybe even further problems. And, I mean, are they going to say, we got the transfer rules, so just try it out, and if you don't like it, I mean, I'm not quite sure what the thinking is. I'm not going to say I'm surprised. I'm disappointed that they didn't take a little bit more time to say, okay, let's figure this out, and at least if we feel like we need to extend the dead period, which I can kind of get that, Bill, because if you're out and you can go out and you because you're not going to be as protected in high school, and then you bring that back to your college campus and your students, and, you know, then you're really risking it. Why not just say, look, this is an unusual year. Let's not just back up the December signing date. Let's just back it up, and if we need to, put the February one a month later, because we're going to have to back up everything in recruiting. And I know that there's no guarantee that things are going to be good enough to open it up completely by, let's say, January or December. But you can make that decision then whether you want to move it back more. But I think you can do it, and moving it back would have made more sense. But as I said, it makes perfect sense, so probably why they're not going to do it.
I'll add to it. How about this scenario? No official visit and or perhaps unofficial visit, and Chris, you're a player coming from a state who canceled high school football. So no senior film, and you never even been on the campus where you committed.
Yeah, I mean, how does that make sense? How does that not scream, look? And you can't do anything about if they can't play high school football.
Right.
Playing in the spring doesn't matter. But you can do something about, let's move signing day back for now, and let's see if we can open it up. And let's, hey, how about this? Let's change the rules for this year because it is, what a different year. Let's allow those kids to go on their official visits. And if they all got to go in December and January and February and back it up a couple more weeks, even 3-4 weeks, let's allow them to do that. If we can go out and open things up, then if we can't, then at some point you got to say, look, we did all we can. It's the same thing that we discussed about this football season and why, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 should have waited like the SEC and said, look, we're going to take it as far as we can until we know for certain. It wasn't 100%. I can tell you the SEC office wasn't convinced that they were going to be able to play, but they were convinced that this was the best way to create an opportunity to see if they could play. I just think the same thing needs to be done from a recruiting standpoint to allow kids and to allow coaches more of a chance to evaluate, more of a chance to get to know these kids, more of a chance for the kids to know them and decide where they want to go. It just makes sense, and moving it back in the calendar a little bit makes all the sense in the world, particularly for this year.
Chris, tell everybody all that you provide.
LandryFootball.com is the hub, and, you know, this is obviously we're involved in this 365, but football season is, with a playing part of the season, it's just huge because we break down all the games. So how do we do it? Well, I'll break the games down in the film room, and I'll tell you with the film room notes that I saw in a game. So you want to know how a certain team did, how Notre Dame's offensive line played. We grade all the players. We grade all the teams in the games. So you can see the film room preview, and you can see the reviews. We've got it all for you there, as well as our notebooks every day. It involves players, teams, coaches, schemes. We break it down for you. It's like having your own scouting or coaching department at your disposal for less than a magazine subscription. So try it out for a month, try it out for a year and get the best discount. That's what we got for you. We do the same thing for the NFL as well. Recruiting, as we just talked about, and the draft, we've got it all for you. You can catch all of our podcasts at links there. You can also get our link to our internet TV network. The Twitch channel. So check it all out there. But LandryFootball.com is your hub, and follow me on Twitter at LandryFootball, and we'll be providing it for you, and we're excited at least in a couple of weeks we'll have even more games and more teams to talk about and evaluate.
Good stuff, Chris. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Take care.
There you go. Mr. Chris Landry joins us every Thursday. A plethora, a wealth, a treasure trove, all those synonyms, all those descriptive terms for the way Chris goes about his business. I'm telling you, folks, I don't know of another guy that is literally around the clock in it like he is. And he covers the NFL and college. I mean, that's like jumping in the deep end of the ocean without a life preserver on, and he gets it done every day. Amazing work. Okay, we'll get the break. We'll clear the rest of the way. 615-844-5600 on Twitter at Billis King. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We've actually been in pretty decent shape out here as far as interstate accidents. We are watching it build pretty good coming out of Wilson County on I-40 up through Hermitage. Traffic's picked up quite a bit now, 65 through Williamson County. Nashboro at Village Green, we saw a wreck there in Una Antioch just a few minutes ago. Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition Sleep with the Sharks is back this weekend. Check out the details. Ripley Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 $3 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bones Burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny with a high of 85, partly cloudy tonight, low 61. Mostly sunny Friday, high 75. Mostly clear Friday night, low 52. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR. It's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
College sports. Bill King knows a few things.
If you're a bit dizzy, don't worry, I can help you. I'm paid to know this stuff. Big Ten is accelerating their way back. That started, well, it's been developing for a while, but it became an official announcement on Wednesday, which would be yesterday. And they're working on the schedule. Here's what we do know. 8 games plus 1, and I'll explain what that means. 8 games inside your league, and then another game inside your league. On December 19th, which is the Big Ten Championship game, the other teams will play by slot. 2 versus 2, east-west. 3 versus 3, east-west, etc. So you get a 9th game there. Big Ten Championship game. Let's just say that's Ohio State versus Wisconsin. That'll be their 9th game, which would be the Big Ten Championship game. And then the next day, the committee will determine the 4 teams that get to go to the playoffs. And right now the Big Ten is synced up to be eligible, to be in line for the committee to consider. And when you think about how good we all project, everybody projects Ohio State to be, that's a big note there. Pac-12 has said what health considerations? You can practice contact football. Come on, guys. You can do it. That was on Wednesday, too. I didn't expect that. All this other mess and everything, easily predicted. That, I didn't think the Pac-12 would be so rapidly eager to get back. That has not been their MO. You got to remember, the Pac-12 was happily shut down. Nobody was scratching and clawing. Nobody was fighting back. Well, I saw one. Just the other day, All-American wide receiver, Southern Cal, Amon-Ra St. Brown. sent a letter to the governor of California imploring him, let us play. It was a very well done piece. He's first round draft pick. Remember, his brother played at Notre Dame just a few years prior. Equanimeous St. Brown, same family. And all the kids there in that family, very good athletes, very good football players. So I did see one. If there was another one or two somewhere, then so be it. But there was very little from anybody. Coaches in the Pac-12, ADs. I'm sure the players want to play. But as opposed to the Big Ten, which I'll give the Big Ten so much credit here. Not the chancellors and presidents, not the commissioner, no. But the players and the parents and the coaches, they fought from day one. Give them credit where it's due. They were not taking no for an answer from day one. They fought. And I commend them, will historically always commend them for being on the right side of history here. Did you see the piece from USA Today? And no, this time not Dan Wolkin, Christine Brennan. Saying this is the darkest moment in Big Ten history. Big Ten just became the SEC, she says. Totally not caring about health. Not caring about the, quote, student athlete. Darkest time in the history of the Big Ten, overlooking what happened at Penn State. And she got lit up on Twitter for this. Is it a prerequisite that USA Today just totally want everything shut down? Is that where we're at? I mean, gosh. And it was pure political partisanship on her part. By the way, I rode with her on a bus from Phoenix to Glendale in 2010 for the Auburn and Oregon National Championship game. Very nice. Very, very nice. I mean, obviously, she wasn't writing an article at the time, but I mean, very friendly, nice, and actually talked too much. I wasn't in the mood to be talking because I'm going to Glendale, and I didn't want to be going to Glendale. But no, very nice. But that article, wow. Absolutely crazy. Crazy, crazy. Karen's getting in late on the show. I can tell you why. Bill, did you see this? Yeah, Karen. I appreciate you bringing it back up because it bears repeating. But it's from our good old downtown 615, where we love the Omni. Yes. But the politics in the 615 are very toxic. And Fox Nashville, that's Channel 17 here locally, started doing some digging, and what they found is that the mayor's office and health officials emailing each other saying, we do not want this information about how few cases we're having from restaurants and bars out. They don't want that out. Just look at the story. You can read it. I'm not going to go back through it, but it's them literally rigging things. We don't want this out. If this gets out, it will hurt our opportunity to keep all this stuff shut down. Just read it up. And I hope it gets some national news. Now, some of the folks won't identify this because they don't want this out. But it's hitting. It's all over Twitter, I'll tell you this, because I had any number of people overnight from different cities and states say, Bill, what's up with this? Look at this. What's going on in Nashville? Well, I can tell you what's going on. It's a bunch of crooks. That's what's going on. Led by our mayor. Karen says, Bill, the Nebraska saved the Big Ten, period. Well, yeah, I think if you're talking about the leadership school, I give Ohio State some credit there, too. But yes, Nebraska, led by Ted Carter, and the players suing and the Omaha lawyers and yeah. Without them, I don't know where we are. I want to explain this one more time, and I'm going to explain it another 200,000 times over the future years. Big Ten's not doing this because they felt left out watching Clemson play or the SEC's about to play. That might be a small part of it, but that's not what's going on. You got to remember, these presidents and chancellors of the Big Ten don't give a rip if Clemson's out on the football field or if Alabama's about to play. They don't wake up thinking about that stuff like you and I do. That is not their business, okay? Their business is lots of students on campus paying $40,000 a year. That's way more money. That's huge money. Athletic department money for them is not what they wake up to every day and drool about. They don't care about this stuff like you and I do. Matter of fact, they're 180 from you and I. They are doing this because they don't want lawyers looking under the hood. I'm telling you. They don't like this discovery process that was starting to reveal things. They did not want their crookedness out. That is what led to this. That's the biggest item here. And Nebraska, as Karen's pointing out, was huge in getting this done. Shannon, Bill, did you see this? Charlie Weiss Jr. is coming back to South Bend this weekend as he is the offensive coordinator for South Florida. Didn't even know he was a coach. Kind of surprised, but apparently he learned quite a bit under Dad while growing up here in God's country. Yeah, he was also a GA, was he not, at Alabama a few years ago. That's the Bill Belichick tree of Saban. I mean, it's a long list, but Saban's one of them. Weiss is one of them. There's a million of them. 614 Rob. Bill, I don't know that every Big Ten coach was pushing publicly for playing. Coach Fitz and the Row the Boat are two I never saw speak out for playing. I'm assuming both were probably shut down by their Corona Bro leaders. Yeah, now I haven't talked to Coach Fitz. He's been a friend of the show for a long time. Coach Pat Fitzgerald. Good dude, man. And he's done a really good job at Northwestern. But yeah, I haven't seen. Now maybe there's some quotes or some TV cuts that I haven't just seen, but he's been suspiciously quiet. I know Coach Fitz wants to play. I haven't talked to him about it. I'm just telling you, knowing him, he wants to play. He's probably trying to lay low, just to not be part of the ruckus. I'm assuming that's what he's doing. But I can tell you, I am a proponent. I love me some Coach Fitz. Always have. I'm again, just speculating that he's just trying to say, you know what, we got a lot of people out here, a lot of noise. I don't need to add to it. And you know what? That calculation actually is, I think, turned out right. The people who were making the noise got the job done, right? I assume he just said, I'll let them, hopefully they'll be successful. I'll let them continue with the drumbeat, and I'll stay out of everybody's way. I'm thinking that's the calculation by Coach Fitz, and you know what? It worked. Now, they had plenty of people out there beating the drum. Plenty of them. All right, let's do this. Let's take the break. One more hour number two. We're clear the rest of the way, all the way through hour number three. 615-844-5600. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic increase quite a bit in the last few minutes up through Brentwood, Franklin, through Williamson County as they work that crash at Nashboro at Village Green. Still looks pretty good right now coming through Kingston Springs on I-40 eastbound. All that traffic flow coming in from Dixon County. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition. Sleep of the Sharks is back September 19th. Check it out. Ripley Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
With the real estate market evolving, realtors stand ready to help. Realtors are an expert voice of reason in changing times, and they're working in new ways to guide you through virtual showings and safe closings, to be your ally in the fight for mortgage relief, to understand a neighborhood the way no algorithm can. That's the role of a realtor. This is a real estate season like no other, and realtors are ready. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
When you're Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show is there to break it down.
Couple notes here, and then I'll get a phone call or two. Danny in New York City. Danny is a police officer in the NYC, and he has the overnight shift. Tough gig. And we appreciate him very much. He's checking in. He's a Michigan fan. Bill, I guess Joe Milton won the quarterback job. Dylan McCaffrey is entering the he-gone gateway. He says, I like McCaffrey. I thought he had momentum going until he broke his collarbone back in 18. Never was the same after that, in my opinion. I think that's an accurate assessment. Milton is an Orlando, Florida kid, a big 6'5 quarterback, 230. I've heard good things about him through the last couple of years. I think he signed an 18. So he's got a little time in the system, not much playing time, but it's his turn. Apparently that's the way it was going to be. One more here, Buckeye Brenda Bill. Christine Brennan. She's like the grumpy old lady on the block yelling at kids playing outside. Nobody cares what she thinks. I from the reaction it's getting, I think you're correct on that one, too. Where are we going to go? Armageddon. Welcome in, sir.
Bill, happy Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Now, Bill, I'm going to show you what an honest man I am this morning.
Okay.
You ever been over to Witt's Barbecue on over by the highway there on, you know, Harding Road?
That one, I'm not. I'm sure I have, but I don't recall.
Well, as you know, I'm living over here on Trickin Road now. You know where you got to have the $10 million in the gate pass, like you say.
Oh yeah.
So about 7:20 last night, Bill. You know, and they close at 8:00 and. Maybe I was in a little bit of a hurry. Who knows? But, you know, Billy Bellmead got me, Bill, on Chicken Road.
So you get pulled over.
Oh, yeah.
Did they give you a ticket?
48 and a 35, Bill.
So you were exceeding by 13.
Exceeding by 13. That's
correct. Didn't let you go.
Didn't let me go.
Man. Well, that's the worst thing.
Bill, I even tried to tell him, you know, I was a driver for a living. You know, he didn't want to hear it. You know, Bill, he just wanted to write me a ticket.
Did you pull the old "Do you know who I am?" trick? I've been banned from every part of Vanderbilt's campus. That's who I am.
He asked me if I lived in Bellmead. I said, no, technically I don't live in Bellmead. I live just outside of Bellmead. I said, but my mother's lived over here for 51 years.
Was he a nice guy or kind of jerky?
He was kind of jerky, Bill.
Well, I'll tell you what. Little ticket here, they're not going to hurt you. You're okay.
Always trying to dodge the police, Bill.
Tell them you know me. I don't know. I don't think that hurts you any worse.
So, Bill, on to more serious sports stuff. So, we got the Big Ten firing her up on the 24th of October, correct?
23rd, 24th, I believe, yes. Yes, coming up.
And their championship game will be the 19th of December, is that correct?
That is also true.
And the SEC will be the 5th of December, is that correct?
I think that's right. Don't hold me to that.
Probably ACC too.
Right in there, yeah. All of them synced up for the 20th committee release of the four teams.
One thing we do know, Bill, that man they like to call a Bible thumper, he'll be in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, Dabo Swinney, who the cancel culture, they want him bad, man. They want to get him bad. Yeah, they ought to just go ahead and slot Clemson in that game. That's how overwhelming this is.
Just about, I think, every year, Bill. I just don't think Dabo's got any competition in the ACC.
He doesn't. But that's not a new story. That's been the case.
So, so going from there, Bill, you know, how will they, when do you think we'll see, you know, playoffs decided, who makes the playoff, things like that?
The 20th of December, the day after the Big Ten plays their game, the scheduled date has been the 20th, so it syncs up, and the committee on the 20th of December will announce the four teams.
So then, I guess that will crank up sometime, you know, after the new year in January.
Yeah, now how all the bowls and everything fits and you know, that's a big mess. But apparently it's all going to work out somehow.
Bill, there could be teams from the SEC that win one game that go to a bowl game. I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, now that was before the Big Ten's news, and then the Pac-12's rapidly trying to get back, and also the Mountain West is. So that's probably not the case now, but it was the case. So if Vanderbilt goes 1-9 and Arkansas goes 0-10, I don't think you'll see them in a bowl now.
Okay. 7:56, Bill. I got to give you a couple minutes before the music starts to close things down.
All right.
Have a great Thursday.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Appreciate the time awareness there. Love it when the audience sends it to the break. It's smart people, man. Hour 3 coming up on this Thursday, and I really think I was looking at the list. There's, again, not a big marquee matchup in college football, but it's college football. I'm not complaining. I think my favorite game on my OOP is that Miami and Louisville game. Yeah, I'm going to be on. I may have to get the pencil, the number two pencil out on that game. Even though we've gone paperless here. Yeah, I've gone paperless. I've been paperless for about the last 4 or 5 years here on the show. Everything is stored in the brain. Not on paper. Yeah, it just goes right to the brain. Very few notes taken. if ever. I used to have a notepad out for every show, and I would start the day, and then I would make notes throughout the show and throughout the day. None of that now. Just strictly right to the mental Rolodex. It's much easier. Cuts down on huge costs. You know what those notepads cost? Like a dollar, man. Cuts down on all that. Hour three's coming up. And many of you have chimed in on Twitter. We'll look through all of that. There's Jim at Jupiter making a showing this morning. Karen's checked in. Danny up in New York City, among others, checked in. Hope everybody down on the Emerald Coast is doing okay, from Gulf Shores on down to Pensacola and all that. A lot of flooding, and that's scary stuff. Hope everybody's doing well. Hour 3, Omni.